said the night wind to the little lamb, do you see what I see? Said the little lamb to the shepherd, boy, do you hear what I hear? Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I say. You know, those are very good questions for all of us to think about when we think about the spiritual world that is going on around us. You know, do you see? Do you hear? Do you know what God is doing in your life and in the world around you? Rested, renewed, and refreshed. That's our theme this month for Christmas. Rested, renewed, and refreshed. And in order to be renewed, one of the things that we have to do is we have to tune in to the spiritual world that is around us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you don't know where 2 Corinthians is, it's right after 1 Corinthians. It's in case you didn't know. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. Okay, remember what we're reading about, what the premise of what we're talking about is being renewed. And, you know, being renewed is kind of like being made back how you were, you know, being re-energized, you know, refreshed, which is similar to renewed. We'll be talking about that next week, Lord willing. But being renewed, and the Bible explains to us how we are renewed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Let's pray. Father, as we have these few minutes to get into your word and to speak from your word, I pray that you help all of us right now to fix our eyes on you. And help us just kind of open up our hearts to think about the things that are unseen and the ways in which you speak to us and the ways in which you work in our lives, what you're doing in our life right now, even as we gather together here on this Sunday morning. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. The Christmas story provides so many great examples of how God moves in the spiritual world. And every once in a while, God, who's moving behind the scenes, every once in a while, things come to the forefront. He connects with us. And then we can actually become aware of what it is that God is doing. And those moments are powerful in our life. But we always have to keep our eyes open and our mind open to what God is doing. Today, we're going to talk about Joseph. Last week, we had the chance to talk about Mary. It was a real honor and privilege to be able to talk about this great woman of God. Today, we're going to talk about a great man of God. So turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Joseph is just this incredible example of this awesome man of God. And as we start looking at the spiritual world and how God's moving in Joseph's life through the spiritual world, we also want to look at Joseph as a person. We want to look at him and we want to ask some questions about his character. And how was he so able to be able to be in tune with God? And how was God able to work with him in such a powerful way? A lot of it just had to do with what kind of person God had made him into. Let's start in Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Let's just stop for a minute and just talk about all of this. Let's just think about Joseph as a person. Mary was actually pledged to be married to Joseph. The closest thing we have in our days for that would be what? Engaged. That would be the closest thing that we would have. We would say they were engaged. It's a little bit different, but it was similar, okay? And what does the Bible tell us here? They were engaged, but then it says, but they had not come together. Like, what is that? What is that talking about? Well, the topic here is that Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. Last week we talked about Mary getting pregnant. She was a virgin, yet God made her pregnant. We talked about all those kind of challenges that that might have brought into her life, right? But now we're looking at this, and we're looking at Joseph, and we're saying, oh, what? Joseph and Mary, they were together. They were engaged. But what do we know about them? We know that they kept their relationship pure. They kept the relationship pure. They weren't married yet. They were engaged. And Mary was still a virgin, and Joseph had made sure he kept the relationship pure. So that's just something I want to throw out for you right now. This is for men and for women. You know, ask yourself this question. Am I that kind of man who's going to keep my relationship pure until I get married? Am I that kind of person? Do I have that kind of character? And I want to ask this question of you sisters too. You know, when you're looking for a man and you're trying to think about, hey, if you want a spiritual man, if you don't want a spiritual man, do whatever you want, okay? Just, you know, if that's not what you're looking for. But if you're trying to live for God and you want to be a woman of God and you're looking for a spiritual man who's going to be able to lead you spiritually, you're looking for somebody like Joseph right here. Amen. You know, when he found out that Mary was pregnant, he knew that it wasn't him. You want to know why? Because they had never been together. That's why. And so this is a sign of a spiritual man. Here's the awesome thing. And so let me just get open with you right now so I can help you out a little bit. I grew up a very religious person. I went to church 3 times a week growing up, and I went on Sunday morning for Bible class, Sunday morning for church. I went back again for Sunday night, had to miss the Sunday night football, so I had to go back to church on Sunday night. I went to church every Wednesday. I went to devotionals. I went to teen camp. I did all this stuff, growing up a very religious person. Yet I never really had a vision for my life of actually being able to carry out the Bible. I wanted to carry out the Bible. I thought about carrying out the Bible, you know, but I just didn't really have a great vision. In the church family that I was part of, that was not, you know, something that we were really taught, and that example was not set for us. And so in my mind, it was like, oh yeah, I know we're supposed to follow the Bible, but nobody actually really is following the Bible. Okay, it was just kind of like an idea, like it's a, you know, especially if I'm a teenager. The very first time in my life that I was engaged in Louisiana. And I did not keep our relationship pure. I actually was not a virgin when I got married. And I was impure with the person that I was engaged to. That's how it was. You know, that was something that really inspired me to think, you know what? Dude, you need to change. Yeah, I'm just going to tell you. I knew enough Bible to know this was not a good thing, you know. And I just, even though all the people around me, this was going on, I was like, I got to change, man. This isn't right. And I just started thinking, you know, being convicted before God. And I said, you know what, I got to find another church. I got to go somewhere. It wasn't the church's fault, by the way, that I was impure. I was just like, I need to go somewhere where I can find some other people who also want to find the Bible. And God led me to that place. I was super thankful for it. You know, so years go by. Actually, a lot of years go by. Then Martha and I meet in Boston. And then we date. We get engaged. And we get married. The whole time we kept our relationship pure. The whole time. You know, we had that as a mutual standard that we had, but neither of us had stayed, you know, pure prior to being disciples of Jesus. What I'm trying to say is that I understand the blood of Jesus, the grace of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus, all that. I need that in my own life. I just shared my story with you. But as disciples of Jesus, we need to make sure that we set the Bible standard, and this is the Bible standard. And Joseph, he was a righteous man. So what did he do? He kept his relationship pure. Now let's say you're a disciple right now. That's not what happened with you guys when you were married. I'm not saying that. You can't undo the past. There's no way to undo the past, okay? You can't undo that. Thank God for his grace. But for those of us who aren't married, who want to build a godly relationship with one another, regardless of whatever we did before we walk into church this morning, we can read these scriptures and go, you know what? I want to be like that right there. This is the person I'm going to be from here on out. And that's the challenge that Joseph gives to us. Not only did he keep the relationship pure, but it also says that he was faithful to the law. And so Joseph was a man of the Bible. A lot of reasons why people don't keep their relationship pure, because they don't know the Bible, they don't really have a conviction. I mean, I've studied the Bible with so many people that when we talked about this topic from the Bible, they were in shock. Like, they were amazed. They're like, are you kidding me? The Bible actually teaches that? I had no idea. What? And so the thing that helped Joseph so much in his character was he was faithful to the law because he knew the law. He read the Bible. He got into the scriptures. And you know what? It doesn't matter what we've done prior to coming in here today. We can decide, you know what? I'm going to get into the Bible. I'm going to know the scriptures. And for my future, I'm going to live out the scriptures. We can make that decision in our life right now, today. And we can do that. We can let the grace of God take care of our past, and we can embrace God's word for the future. That was the kind of man that he was. And you know something that was really amazing? And I think this is super important for all the ladies in here who aren't married yet, and you're looking for the person that you want to marry. I mean, Joseph was a very kind and gentle person. I mean, it's mind-blowing. I mean, it says right here, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, just think about that. Got this woman, even actually calls her husband here, because being pledged to be together back in those days was a little bit more than what we would consider being engaged. You really weren't married yet, but you'd already crossed over when you made that pledge, okay? But what does it say? He had in mind to divorce her quietly. He didn't have to do that. I mean, first of all, she could have been stoned to death for committing adultery. She could have been stoned for that. You know, that's something that could have happened. And he could have just been like, how dare you do this? How dare you disrespect me and dishonor me and mistreat me and embarrass me and put me in this position? You know, if he had been thinking like that, he would not have had in mind to put her away quietly. You see what kind of man he is? He is kind. He is gentle. He's like, well, all right, you know, she's unfaithful to me. Haven't even really officially gotten married. She's already cheating on me. So I don't think I'm going to marry her, but I'm going to do it quietly because I don't want to hurt her. You know, I want to protect her. That's the kind of man that Joseph was. You know, these are the kinds of characteristics that you want to build in your life so that you can actually engage God and see how God is moving in the spiritual world. Let's move on. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 25. I see that the church became super silent as we had that little discussion right there. I mean, it's just the Bible. I'm just only trying to share the Bible with you, okay? That's all it is. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Let me just check. I got good. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's learn a little bit more about what's going on right here. You know what? This is what I was talking about. Do you see God intervening? Sometimes God intervenes in our life in a way that's super real and very noticeable. Maybe we're praying and we just hear. It's not audible voice, but just in our mind, and we hear God bringing up scriptures to us, or we hear God leading us and saying something to us. He's putting something on our heart. Have you ever heard anyone say, "Oh, I think God put this on my heart"? He's putting something on our heart. He's moving us. He's moving us inside. And Joseph was listening. Joseph was listening to God. I mean, I don't really know exactly what happens when an angel appears to you in a dream. You know, that sounds really like a big deal to me. But Joseph was willing to listen. And he heard what the angel was saying to him, what God was trying to communicate to him. And some of the things that were very powerful, like in verse 24, it says that when he woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him to do. He obeyed. He obeyed. You say, well, obviously he obeyed. Anybody would obey. No, really? Do you? Do you have scriptures right now that God puts in your mind and on your heart that you know about that you disobey? It's not so easy to be the person who obeys God. It's a challenge. Actually, the answer to that question is never yes or no, right? Because sometimes we're obeying the scriptures and sometimes we're not. And it's not always an accident. And it's not always because we didn't know. Sometimes it's just because we do not want to listen and obey when God is trying to teach us. In verse 22, I think this is very important, and I really want you to pay attention to this. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. This is very powerful, because when God speaks to us, he always speaks to us consistent with what the Bible actually says. God never tells anyone to do anything that's different than what the Bible says, because God is the author of the Bible. God is the author of the scriptures. When God gave us the scriptures through the Holy Spirit, he spoke the truth to us and he let us know exactly what he thinks about things. And so God never tells us. Now, there have been plenty of times in my life when I've had Bible studies with people who were religious people, and they'll be like, oh no, God's telling me to do this. Oh no, God's telling me to do that. I'm like, how's God telling you to do that? What about this scripture right here? Here, in writing, God's telling you to do the exact opposite of what you just said. You know, oh no, no, I hear him speaking to me. He's leading to me. There's a spiritual world out there. God is not the only one speaking to you. There's the other side. It's the dark side. The dark side speaks to you too. And that's one of the great things that we have that God provided for us to make sure, is this from God? Is this from Satan? How am I going to know? One of the big tests is, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Because God never, never tries to tell you to do something that goes against what his written word tells you to do. In fact, if you read a little bit further after Jesus got baptized, just a little bit further in the book of Matthew, you'll see Satan talking to Jesus. And he will take scriptures. He even tries to get scriptures and misuse scriptures to get Jesus to sin. It shows how the spiritual battle happens. And so what's important for you and I? Well, man, that's why we need to know the scriptures. So many times we can be thinking, I'm sure this is how God is leading me. I'm sure this is what God wants me to do. I was praying and meditating on it, and this popped in my mind. This must be from him. Well, it isn't always from him. And that's the reason why we need to read the scriptures and know the scriptures, so that we don't get led astray. The spiritual world, it's happening. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? This is a very powerful question for us to think about. The other thing that's amazing about Joseph was verse 25. I find this to be super amazing. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Self-control, that's a fruit of the Spirit. Self-control. This guy got married. They had to travel all over the place. They have to go for the census. They have to go back to Nazareth, traveling together, staying together, you know, doing their thing. And what did Joseph still do? Kept the relationship pure until Jesus was born. I'm not exactly sure if God told him to do that or not. I haven't really studied that out. And there may be a scripture that talks about that. I don't know. But he did it. That's the point that I'm saying. Self-control. You know, the Holy Spirit, when you see somebody who's living by the Spirit, you see the fruits of the Spirit in them. You know, you don't have a person who, on one hand, is saying, God's leading me to do this. And on the other hand, you see the exact opposites of the fruits of the Spirit in their life. Or on the other hand, you see scriptures that say the opposite of what they're saying. And you know, so for us, we want to be led by God's Spirit. Then we need to embrace what the scriptures are saying. We need to be willing to be the kind of person that God calls us to be. We need to help each other be the kind of person that God's calling us to be. So we can be led by God's Spirit. And the things that we have going for us are the Bible, the church, the fellowship, prayer, ministry of the Word, all of those things to help us stay on track with how God is leading us in our life. Let's look over here a little bit further in Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. This time it was really good that he listened on this one right here, because now we're going to talk about how being led by the Spirit resulted in saving their life. Okay? That really will, you know, hit you in the heart when you think about this. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him." That's super intense. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." You know, being led by the Spirit here was life-saving. It saved their child by being able to be led by God's Spirit. You know, something that's really powerful about this, again, is twice in this scripture, it says that when these things happened, other scriptures from the Old Testament were being fulfilled. I don't know if you ever stopped to think about this, but, you know, when a dream or an angel or whatever would come, these people grew up knowing the scriptures. So when they would have this dream, "Oh man, you got to get out of here. You're going to have to go out to Egypt." Joseph knew the scriptures. He's like, wait, in his mind, he could go, wait, yeah, this must be from God, because the scriptures actually talk about how you're supposed to be coming out of Egypt. Oh yeah, so that must be what this is. And so he could listen to the dream and he could go and he could do what God told him to do. And so it's not really just that he just had this thought in his head. He had this dream. This angel appeared to him. There were the scriptures backing up what he was being told to do. And since he knew the word and was faithful to the law, he could always go back and he could think about those things and go, ah, man, that must be what he was talking about. And in this case, it saved Jesus' life. But you know what? It's very powerful for us. And hopefully you understand what I'm trying to inspire you to do right here. I'm trying to inspire you to know the Bible. I'm trying to inspire you to read the scriptures and know what the scriptures actually say. You know that your mind and your thoughts and your ideas about things are being formed every single day. And they're not just being formed by you. Anybody's like, "Oh, I don't listen to nobody. I'm just my own person. I do what I want to do, whatever. You know, I'm my own man," and all that kind of stuff. Other than being essentially ignorant, which is what that is. I don't mean ignorant in like the derogatory ignorant. I mean ignorant in as you need a little bit more education about reality, about how life works. Nobody does that. Did you notice if you look around you right here, look at all the clothes everybody's wearing. Look at your clothes. Do you see anybody dressed like they're at church in West Africa right now? If you were in West Africa, you grew up there, you wouldn't be dressed like this. Not at all. Oh, I have some West African friends in here right now. This is not how they're coming to church. Emmanuel's right over there, you know. You wouldn't dress like this. I mean, I see these videos, you know. These sisters, man, they have these things up here in their hair like this. They have these beautiful, very bright, pretty things that they're wearing. And believe me, I understand that West Africa is multiple countries and multiple cultures. Just make sure you understand that. But I'm just telling you, we're dressing the way we dress because of our culture around us. That is why we're dressing that. If anybody runs out and gets a puffer coat this year, you know, if I see anybody wearing one of those puffer coats, I know, man, you're wearing that. You wouldn't have wore a puffer coat 10 years ago, okay? You will today. Everybody, every store, every brand has their version of the puffer coat. You don't know what the puffer coat is? Yeah, it's like it has the lines. But anyhow, yeah. Everybody, everywhere you go, you see people walking around wearing puffer coats. You know, that's because puffer coat is the thing this year, you know? So that's what we do. We're affected by social media. We're affected by the music we listen to. We're affected by the people we hang out with. We're totally affected by all kinds of things. Why not be affected by God through His Word? Why not do that? You want to be renewed, refreshed, revitalized? You want some rest in your life? Hey, let God lead you. That was our first sermon earlier in the month. Let's look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 to 23. This is our last section right here. Verse 19 to 23. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. And he said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother. See how he has this habit of listening? So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. Here we go again. God's connecting with him. God's trying to lead him. God's pulling the ideas right out of the Bible. He's like, "Oh, I'm going to Nazareth. Okay, yeah, that's right. I remember the Bible saying that. You know, he's going to be called a Nazarene. Aha! God must be leading me here." He's allowing the Bible to inform himself as he lets the Holy Spirit come into his life and lead him. In this case, through dreams and angels. But he's always allowing the Bible to lead him as this is happening in his life. But you notice what happened? God does not always tell us the whole story. Sometimes you're wondering, Scott, I don't know. It didn't happen. I thought God put this on my heart. I thought he was leading me here. But then things changed. And then all of a sudden it was over here. It wasn't going exactly on the trajectory I thought God was leading. God does not always tell us the whole story. Do you notice how in Egypt the story was, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead." This is what God told him. The people trying to kill him, take his life, are dead. Was that true? It was true, because Herod was the one who was trying to kill him, and Herod was dead. Was it all of the story? No, it wasn't all the story. He just probably figured Joseph and Mary, they might be too afraid to go if he told them the rest of the story. He just gave them the information they needed to know. That was it. When they got there, they're like, "Whoa, Herod's dead, but his son is king." You know, they were a little bit nervous about that. And then what happened? What did God do next? Then another dream came along. Oh, by the way, yeah, he warned them, "You better get out of here and go to Nazareth. That's where you need to go." And then he moved him over to Nazareth. Has this ever happened in your life? Like you were praying and you know God answered your prayer and he led you down a certain road and things started happening in a certain way and you're like, this is so God, and you're giving glory to God and all these kind of things. And then something changes and it doesn't actually keep going the way you thought it was going to go. And then you have to ask yourself, was that really God? Does God really lead me? Is God really involved in my life? You know, is this faith that I have, is it actually true? It didn't happen. I thought God was leading me. It didn't happen the way I thought he led me. This scripture right here is a perfect example of it. He's just taking us from point A to point B to get us there. Later on, he might want us in point C, D, E, or F. But he was just trying to get us from point A to point B. Then he'll worry about getting you over to point C. And that's what happens. He changes things on us. Because he's just leading us that way for a little while. But now, it's time to lead you the other place I wanted you to go. Another destination that I wanted in your life. This can happen in relationships. Maybe you're dating somebody. It doesn't work out. You're crushed. I thought God was at the middle of this. You're tempted to be faithless. God was never involved. This was terrible. No, it's not terrible. God's just moving you from point A to point B. Now God's going to move you over to point C. It's just as simple as that. Absolutely, God is working in your life. Absolutely, God, he's never misleading you, never misguiding you, never doing anything to hurt you. He's always trying to move you in the direction that he wants you to go in so that you can be whatever the destiny God has for you in your life.
That's
God working in your life. So in conclusion, renewal. Partially, renewal comes from stopping sometimes from looking at just what is seen and taking some time to look at what is unseen, to fix your eyes and your attention on what is unseen. And in order to do that, it requires reading the Bible. In order to do that, it requires deciding, I'm going to be the kind of person who listens when I read the Bible. I'm going to start doing what it says. To the best of my ability, to the best of what I know. When I pray, I'm gonna listen for God. I'm not just gonna talk to God only. Gotta talk to God, very important. But I'm gonna listen for God too. And see if he's moving me, trying to encourage me in some direction or another. Letting God lead me. You know, having that kind of character, like the character that Joseph had, where you could see these fruits. His desire to be pure for God, his desire to be faithful to the law, his desire to be kind and gentle to Mary, even when he was hurt by her. At least that's how he felt at the time. His willingness to obey God's leading, his willingness to his knowledge of the Bible so he could understand if it was actually God's leading or if it was Satan's leading, you know. His willingness to make adjustments as God makes adjustments in his life. To not give up and become faithless when things change and they don't go in the direction that you're planning for them to go. All of these things are the things that blessed Joseph and helped him and Mary be able to become the mom and dad of the Son of God. If you want to be rested, renewed, and refreshed, then don't always just fix your eyes on what is seen. Make sure you also pay attention to what is unseen. Thank you very much.
Amen.